Okay, the rest are here. Nigel, good to see you. I don't know who's on YouTube. Are there some people on YouTube? I know some people are coming back from JB. Some people in JB. Yip is from JB. Roger's on his way back. I think he's back in Singapore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time as we come before you. May this time be acceptable praise to you. Lord, speak to your people so that as we come before you, we know that you're in the midst of your people. Lord, speak to us through our brother Royston. May this word be a word that will edify. May this word bring glory to your name. We commit all we have to you. In Jesus' name we pray. I thought we would just start by just worshiping God. I was just listening to Bill Johnson. You know, sometimes a lot of time we say we want to pray to God. If you have 1 hour, Tiffany, if you have 1 hour, what do you do? Do you like, if you want to pray to God, do you like spend 50 minutes before and worship God and then 10 minutes to pray? Or do you say, I will just worship 10 minutes and then pray 50 minutes? Nothing wrong with praying longer, but his point was that when you start by just worshiping God, when you just start by worshiping God, it allows you to flow in the presence of God. And then it's so much easier to pray because you're already in his presence. So that prayer after that can just be a one-liner. Karen may say, I pray that God, you'll be with my child today. One-liner. But before that, you already had worshipped and you have come into his presence. And people who are in the worship ministry understand what I'm talking about, right? And Shireen, last week when we had ministry, and I thought it was Melissa as well, and people like Chris and Denise, when you came, when we worshipped God and when you came, I remember Chris and Denise just starting here and then standing here and then started to cry. I didn't tell her to cry. I didn't say you must cry. I didn't say if you don't cry, cannot go back. I said nothing. But when you get touched by God, there's nothing to be said. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as we come, I want us to worship God. And then we will invite Royston to just come. We are never too busy to worship God. Never. Once you get into worshiping God, things change. So I want you to just get your hearts ready, and you on YouTube Live as well. You're able to also worship God through the channels, YouTube, whether in JB, Spain, England, wherever. But come and just worship the Lord. I love this song. It's called For You Alone. It is true, isn't it? It's about Him, nothing else. Not about me, not about Royston, not about anything else, but about God. I want you to just get your hearts ready as we come before Him. Can I invite you to stand? Sing this song with us. You are the peace that guards my heart. Welcome Him. You are the peace.
You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in times of need. You are the hope that leads me on. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. And there I find you. And there I find you waiting. And there I find relief. So with all my heart I'll worship. And unto you, can you raise your hands to the Lord? Sing to Him. For you alone, for you alone deserve all glory. For you alone deserve all praise. Father, we come. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see, we long to, for you alone deserve all glory, deserve all praise. Father, we love you. We worship you today. And we worship you this day. Sing from the top. You are the peace that guards my heart. Come to the Lord Jesus.
You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
You are the hope that leads me on.
You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. There I find you, and there I find you.
Father, we worship.
Father, we love you. And we worship.
Chorus from the top, sing to the Lord Jesus.
For you alone, for you alone deserve, all deserve all glory. Deserve all praise. Adore you, Father. We long to see your face. Deserve all glory,
Father. We worship. Say to the Lord, Father, we love you. We worship you today.
Father, we love you. And we worship you.
And now begin to pray. Pray for something that is causing you angst. And now, because you're in the presence of God, you begin to pray. And it can just be a one-liner prayer. But whatever is affecting you, it could be your ill health, could be your finances, could be something that's troubling you, could be a mental block. You just come to God now. God listens to your prayer. The Lord hears us as you pray. So begin to pray a precious 30 seconds. Whatever that is tugging you, will you pray right now in Jesus' name? The Lord hears your prayers. Pray right now. Nobody looking around. Begin to pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. We commit this service to you. May the word of your servant Royston be a word that goes forth that will not return void. We commit all we have to you. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You're seated. Thank you. What a wonderful time. Thank you for being on time. We just want to welcome Royston. I will check with the wife. Was he very stressed this week? Royston's a good man. Army, chop chop, everything is very organized. Brian, you should know, commando. This one commando. So, but we should all be commandos for God, isn't it? Whenever God tells us something, just do. Don't think too much. You think too much, you'll never do something. Do, then think later. I'm not telling you to be brainless, Tiffany. But don't think too much. When God tells you to do something, do it. I think that's the measure of what we need, by faith. So without further ado, can we just welcome Royston? Thank you. Come.
Hello, everyone. I'm Royston, if you haven't noticed. So today, a lot of us, we worship first, we eat first, all right? And we did a series also first in our church. And you also find on your seat a note for your recording so that it probably can help you follow the message better. We need to thank Joanne, who is not here because she's over there conducting the children's ministry. And to throw in a bit of icing. Later, we have our sister Niap to also share a testimony after my sharing. And last but not least, I brought a prop just for fun. Don't worry, I won't hang myself. I'm not a magician. So I Just want to echo what Daniel mentioned, a special shout out to a very special group of folks among our midst, which is our guests who are joining us for the first time, okay, either here or on Zoom. And I truly believe that you are here by divine arrangement, and please turn or text the person who invited you today. I am certain they have been praying very hard for you up to the moment that you are either seated right here with us or you are watching over Zoom. So we all know we started this series right at the beginning of April, 2nd of April, if you didn't notice. The first one was Too Broken Not to Be Used. Of course, our elder Daniel was the one that came forward and delivered the first one. And he highlighted that we need to embrace Christian life on the basis that it is paradoxical, meaning that there are times in our life that they are contradictory in principle. Okay, maybe a few examples just to jog your memory a little. He spoke about seeing the unseen. I reviewed the whole YouTube, so confirm he said that, seeing the unseen. So other example like hearing the unheard, lead by serving, or best, to live is to die. So today I have a privilege to close up the series by talking about the need to serve because we are busy. That's right. Too busy not to serve. But I wonder why he picked me to speak on this subject. Maybe because I moved from civil service to public service and then back to civil service again. I also don't know why. But anyway, before I start, let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to commit this time to you. May you use me, your servant, as a vessel to speak words, and may the words be meaningful and useful to everyone sitting here right now and those in Zoom as well. We commit this time to you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Alrighty, let's go. Does this scene look familiar? Have you recently asked someone or have been asked by somebody about how are you? And what's their response? I could name one, which is on the slide. They probably would say, I'm fine, just busy. So is that you during your work week or even on the weekends? If that's you, tell the person next to you that you are very busy. Oh, there you have it. Busy is now elevated to become an emotion. And that's the truth, unfortunately. Today, we live in a society that thrives on being busy. In fact, sometimes we wear it around almost like a badge of honor. Correct? I mean, what if you were not busy? You might be thinking, what would others think about me? So because even their bosses are busy, right? Even your bosses are busy. My boss confirmed busy. So if I'm not busy, I also don't know what's wrong with me, right? So we wonder. Then we also become busy. And moreover, these days, there are so many ways to connect, right? We are always doing something, so much so that we have problems disconnecting. Diobo, we can't even disconnect from our phone. So I submit to you that busy is the new negative emotion. And like any negative emotions, it can take you down a path of limitation in your professional, personal, and more importantly, spiritual life. Funny, and sometimes even absurd, but this is the world that we are living in. But hey, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying working and working hard is bad or it is a sin. The truth is, if we read the verse, God wants each of us to work. And as a matter of fact, not just to work, but to work hard, right? You can see from the verse taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it reads, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." I mean, we all obviously never been to the Garden of Eden, but I can imagine the Garden of Eden is extremely, extremely big. And obviously, you really need to work hard in order to take good care of it, right? So God does not want us to be busy. He wants us to work for a living, which is what most of us are doing. That means you have to view it as a gift working. You know, work is a gift from God. And He places us, every single one of us, there at your workplace for a purpose, just as He did for Adam and Eve. And in Agora, if you haven't visited our website, you should. Down there it says, our mission is to make a difference in the marketplace. And doing our best in our respective roles in our workplace is one of our way of honoring and glorifying God. And God Himself set example for us, right? He created the heavens and earth and everything in it in 6 days, and then on a seventh day, He took a break, and this is what we do. These days, we work five and a half days, or maybe 6 days, and then one of the day in the week, we will come to church, worship, you know, with our fellow believers, serve His community, and feed on His word. But is once a week enough? So I would like you to place that thought, once a week, is it enough in your head? Okay, who reads The Economist? Okay. So, this cartoon is printed on a magazine, The Economist. This article was published in 2014, December. It was a Christmas special. The title is In Search of Lost Time. Why is everyone so busy? Time poverty is a problem partly of perception and partly of distribution. Let me read you some key excerpts from the article. Okay, it goes like this. The predictions sounded like promises. In the future, working hours will be short and vacations long. Our grandchildren, reckon the author, John Maynard Keynes, in 1930, said that we'll work around 3 hours a day and probably only by choice. But economic progress and technological advances had already shrunk working hours considerably by his day. And there was no reason to believe that that trend would not continue. You know, cars whizzing, there will be even more time-saving tools, appliances, guaranteed more speed and less drag in all parts of life. You know, in parachuting, you want less drag, okay? So social psychologists began to fret, like, whatever would people then do with all their free time, you know? Laying around, right? But luckily or unluckily, his prediction was totally off. And this has not turned out to be one of the problems in the world. People not doing anything, right? As a matter of fact, everyone, everywhere seems to be busy, or even busier these days. Okay, in the corporate world, there is a perennial time scarcity problem, right? Afflicts all the executives. Then there are a lot of executives among us, and you know what I'm talking about. And the matter has grown much acute over the recent years, okay? Said one of the analysts at McKinsey, you know, this famous consultancy firm. And this feeling, I believe, is especially profound, you know, among all the working parents here amongst our midst, right? More so at the height of COVID in the year 2020, where many of us were working from home and your young kids are doing their home-based learning. Well, I can see a few eyes of the parents are rolling, you know, so I know who you are. So as for those time-saving gadgets, right, you know, many people grumble that all these pieces of gadget are chewing up too much of their days. You know, whether they are in the traffic, they are trying to navigate their robotic voice messaging system, or deciding what to do, which email to read, sometimes all at once. Paradoxical indeed. And technology, we all know, is designed to serve us. Teobo, Brother Gun. You know, help us to be more efficient at what we do. And they did. But because they are so good, right, the expectation now has evolved. Now, all of us are expected to do more since less time is needed to carry out each task. And so on the point that technology is serving us, I'm not sure you agree with that statement. So for me, I think they are slaving me. I don't know about you. So on the notes, write down. And just now, as I was sitting there, I already saw a few amongst the crowd writing down, simply handphone, simply iPad, you know. So for me, 3 as well, okay? My mobile device where I, you know, my computer, my iPhone, my iPad, you know, I check my messages. My world channel, okay, Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, you name it, I have it. And of course, last but not least, my limited digital presence. Okay, I only dabble in Facebook. I don't do TikTok or ByteDance or Twitter. Okay, so you see, my daughter is laughing. She often remind me, Papa, Facebook is for old people. Thanks. I feel so loved. So I agree that the prediction my Mr. Key were totally off. We are busy these days. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think we are too busy. As we allow hours each day to be filled up, do we realize that 24 hours a day just fly by these days, and then soon 1 week is gone, then months are gone, and soon 1 year is over. And if you have not realized, we are already in the last day of April. We are into the second quarter of the year. And when we are too busy, we have the tendency to forget, right? Pun intended, forget. Which leads me. So are we too busy for God till we forgot? Okay? So, as I said, pun intended. But if you ask me what makes me happy at work, I will probably answer making and checking off a to-do list. And there's something satisfying. I'm not sure people out there are like me, like to have a to-do list, where you have a list of achievement and at the end of the productive day, you very shook because you check everything off and then you're ready for the next day. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I will come home and tell her, today I really got a lot done, so much done. I was so proud. So while busyness can be a blessing both to others and to ourselves, our culture these days, like I mentioned earlier, views busy as a sign of importance. The busier you are, it suggests the more status you have. It's like a given truth, you know. Thus, creating or cultivating or generating an impulsive habit of being constantly busy, which we know, if left unchecked, will take up precious time away. Precious time away from our Lord. So God equips us for things that we are called for. As I mentioned, God places us at each of our workplace for a specific purpose. But when we overcommit our time, we step beyond the things sometimes He calls us to do. And then when we do that, we are effectively getting out from under His umbrella of strength. So, does all these words up on the screen ring a bell to you? Have you heard someone share this with you? Or have this word run through your mind before or recently? And as a matter of fact, and as years goes by, if you allow such thoughts to fester, then with your busy lifestyle, you suddenly realize you need more and more and more time to maintain a particular lifestyle that you are already living till we are too busy, till we forgot. So with that, let's look at some of the reasons why so many of us feels busy these days. So I think many of us have heard some of the words like, in the marketplace, like time staff, I am time poor, time poverty, or even overschedule. You know, we feel like we are pressed for time, that there's not enough time each day, and we are always rushing because we always feel we are running out of time. However, the amount of time we have not changed. We all still only have 24 hours a day, right? Who has 25? Okay, just checking. So, but many modern conveniences has been, you know, introduced into our lives, right? Like washing machine, dryer, dishwasher, Instant Pot, my favorite, Amazon, Alexa. You know, all these has significantly shaved off hours from mundane chore that maybe our parents or even our grandparents used to need to spend time to do. This time we just inside, close it, set, you can go and zhang zui, you come out, your beef stew is done. Correct? Angela, tio bo? Tio ah, okay, thanks. I don't want to steal the thunder from my elder. So what's really going on? Are we actually busier than before, or we just feel that we are busy? Has our relationship with time actually changed? And many studies have shown that today's employees experience more stress, you know, than employees 10 years ago. You know, these days, depression is fashionable. I mean, I say it in jest, but it's indeed true. You know, workplace depression cannot be overspoken. But when I started working 30 years ago, I only received maybe less than 30 emails a day, and communication is carried out with a pager and an office phone. Oh, I see I have a few people nodding their head. You remember pager? Some, like my kids, they don't understand simisi pager. But in the past, you got a pager, you wear it very proudly, you know. Some even wear two, okay, just to show that they are important. So, but definitely back then, the pace of work is slower, right? But I have to confess here, okay, in front of God, that I am a workaholic. Okay, like the boy frog that you all see there. I became conditioned over time. You know, I evolve, I adapt, and sometimes I pride myself, that I am highly adaptable into the work culture of the organization. And at least from where I come from, the culture of I must always do my best at work, you know, and I've totally bought into that culture. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm willing to sacrifice more time so that I can produce the best work. I put in crazy hours because I was afraid of letting things go and not do my best, you know, in fear of failure or disappointment. Disappointment, you know, of my bosses or my teammates. And my excuse for being busy at work, I will always tell, because I'm doing operations, so mission success is number one, so we got to get it done. And I remember, I still do, I even went as far as sharing that you must find your own work-life balance. Okay, the organization is not going to help you balance, because everyone's ratio is different, all right? Some is 50-50, Some is 30-70, some is 40-60. So what is your work-life balance? But at this point, I need to say I thank my wife because she is the reason why I have the ability and the liberty to say that, work-life balance, kaki chao, okay? So she sacrificed so that I can start balance my work life. So thanks, love. Score number point, So later can still sleep on a bed. So may I submit to you that Nest, N-E-S-T, Nest, is what is making all of us busy. Okay? No order of merit, or in this case, dismerit. And you have the notes, right? You can write down, Okay. So, here we go. First one. Busyness as necessity. So life has changed for all of us, right? Some of us need to do shift. Some of us need to work on a Sunday. Some of us need to put in extra hours just to earn that extra money to keep our family going, right? And these days, or I should say, not to mention, many of us are part of this sandwich generation, okay, consisting of people between 40 to 60 who is caring for both your growing children and aging parents at the same time. So you belong to the sandwich generation if you are doing this right now. You know, so there's the pioneer generation, right? Then Merdeka, so we are the sandwich generation. And it's not easy, and definitely it puts a financial strain on this particular generation of people. And the standard of living in Singapore is only going up, and we know, okay? So when one has to pay their own bills, you know, their household needs, as well as to pay their parents' medical bills, as well as their children's university tuition, it can be quite a heavy load if you are having to do this all by yourself. Therefore, job security becomes essential, right, for this particular group of people. And therefore, it shapes their behavior. Sometimes they have to, you know, work a little bit harder, stay a bit longer to demonstrate that they are more productive so that they can keep their job. Or they stay back later because their supervisor has not gone home yet, just to show that they have team spirit. So sometimes we are busy, not because we want to, but we feel that it's necessary. And with longer working hours, stress obviously also went up. So much so that we find that we don't even have time sometimes to attend cell group. Needless to say, what about, you know, doing your own quiet time? Or even attending church? And slowly, slowly, it eats into you. And unknowingly, actually, you still find time to do fun things with your family. But guess what? You don't find time to put God first. All right? So Denzel Washington, a famous American movie actor, director, producer, as well as a motivation speaker, said that just because you are doing a lot more does not mean you are getting a lot more done. So don't confuse movement for progress. I'm not sure you heard that. But on the other hand, recent studies also shown that most of us, there's actually an increase in leisure time, you know, compared to, you know, years past, that we are currently living in an age of affluence. So we are really busy and staying longer at work for the right reason. Only you know. Are we really effective or effective at work? Or are we taking more work to fulfill our wants than for our needs? But let's see what the Bible says, okay? It's actually on the slide. It reads, you know, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. It tells us that I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So our God will provide for us, okay? Therefore, let's not try to control what we cannot control. We control what we can, you know? And that means if we have a choice, let's not pretend that you need to stay longer in the office. And if you are the bosses, and this is what I tell my staff, don't wait for me. If you are done, please leave, okay? So those corporate bosses, leaders out there, we need to do our part because we do not know what our staff, our co-worker is actually thinking about if we do not verbalize our intentions to them. Our intentions to them is not for them to stay. And recently, after spending some time at MOH, I picked up TGIF. So on Friday at 3 p.m., I will start kicking my staff out of the office, okay, telling them to go home and spend time with their family. And but the Bible also tells us not to be like that most people, you know, as I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's in this book, chapter 4, verse 4. It tells us, then I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. So let's not be drawn or attracted by the bling bling that your neighbor may have, or even your co-worker may have. Okay? Because like I drive a Stream, okay, a Honda Stream to work. So sometimes I see some of my co-workers, they drive flashy cars. I sometimes wonder how they do it. So I often have a conversation with them. Not that I want to drive a flashy car, but just to understand their mindset. You know, so there's this famous sharing. He will tell you, "Sir, steady, YOLO, man." You all know what is YOLO, huh? Okay, actually, I didn't know until my daughter told me. You only live once. So there are a lot of these weird principles out there. Okay, but God tells us, let's not chase material needs. Okay, because it is like chasing the wind. Next, busyness can also be seen as an escape. Okay, and this is a developed country world, a modern societal phenomenon. Okay, this phenomenon, people living far below their means won't understand. Okay, they see those, you know, the so-called the upper echelon, they are working very hard, trying to upgrade their lifestyle. They don't understand. Some may even confess all the upper echelon, you know, that the technology, as I described it earlier, is one or the primary contributing factor to their situation, as in the time poverty situation. And they struggle finding their purpose. They ask themselves, what's the meaning of life? And then slowly, okay, it manifests into emotional, physical, and often spiritual stress. And this phenomena, like I mentioned, you know, about depression, it knows no boundaries. It will cut through across age and belief. So what do many or some people do to as a form of escape? They throw themselves into work, you know, giving themselves then a perfect excuse to stop thinking about life, and then at the same time being busy. Sometimes we feel we are productive while we are procrastinating. Okay, so there you go. Another paradoxical reality. And over time, although these people are not intentionally trying to run away from anything, but they kind of, like the boy frog, acknowledge their busyness. And then that eventually become their purpose. So busyness is what sometimes the main cause to our existential crisis. So on the other hand of the spectrum, then busyness can also be the comfort pill, you know, that we eat to run away. But fret not, okay? Because Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 19 says, "Great are your purposes and mighty are your needs. Our God's eyes are open to the ways of all mankind, and God rewards each of us according to our conduct and our deeds deserve." So every one of us are beautifully, wonderfully, and purposefully made for His glory. Yes, God wants us to escape and seek refuge, not to work, not to busyness, but into His bosom. Okay? So God wants to shape and prepare us so that we can play a unique role in each step of our own story. We have a destiny that to bring glory to God, to share the good news, to extend the reign of God. And understanding our unique destiny starts by understanding what the Bible says about our purpose as God's people. All right, so the second reason is busyness can be a form of escape. So next, I said this right at the opening. Busyness as a symbol of status. So modern day again has over glorified this importance of being busy, you know, this value or even self-worth, right? In our fast-paced rat race society. And Lily Tomlin actually made this comment that the trouble with the rat race is that even if you win, guess what? You are still a rat. So we are perpetually on that wheel, okay? Running and running non-stop. So, and there's also this perennial FOMO, right? Fearing of missing out, that is also very persistent out there now in the modern society, especially in younger people. All right? Which leads them to this attitude of having it all, trying it all, doing it all, you know, packing their calendar with so many activities, you know, peppering their social media, you know, reflecting their reels of life. R-E-E-L, not R-E-A-L. Okay? So we must learn to see beyond that picture, that photo. What is beyond that edge of that smile? Is it much pain beyond that? So we have to look beyond that square. So, brothers and sisters, let us not allow sin to take away our joy. And the world will not take away our joy if our joy doesn't come from the world. Allow it to come from the perfect merit of Christ, and you are more to God than you can ever imagine. Because? Why? Because we are the chosen people, right? As 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 said, we are the chosen people. We are the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtue of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, brothers and sisters, that is the only status that we need. Last, T. So, we have gone through N, E, S, now T. Busyness as a time filler. So, this is definitely one of the factors. I think we all know that. But we often overlooked it. Okay? And as a matter of fact, we never live in an age of such abundance of choice. You know, instead of using our leisure time in restorative ways, we do things that continue to drain our energy, like scrolling your Facebook posts, you know, reading all the world news or worst gossip. So we think we don't have time, but actually we do. We simply frittering away with mindless version of passive leisure that doesn't restore us in any fashion or way. You know, as a matter of fact, I did some research. 2019 Statista results said that the average daily time Singaporeans spend using online media is about one-third of our day. One-third of our day. More than 7 hours Singaporeans spend either on their social media, streaming, listening or playing games. So, playing computer games, sorry. So, we really spend a lot of time on our devices. So, this 24/7, always being connected, culture is blurring the line between life and work, okay, and promoting this idea of multitasking, you know, never really need to turn off. So, although God gifted us with choice, He wants us to use it wisely, especially when it comes to the element of time. And as Rick Warren once said, time is your precious gift because you only have a fixed amount of it. On the other hand, we also should just, you know, not leave our time unfilled. Otherwise, the devil will fill that up very quickly. Yeah? As Ephesians 5:15-17 said that, so then, be careful how you live. Do not be unwise, but wise, making the best use of your time, because the times are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Okay, in case you didn't catch it, this is the nest that I was talking about. And now that we know what may be causing us to be busy, let's visit a story quickly in the Bible that talks about how we should use our time. And this story is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. It is the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus visited them. So as you can tell, Martha is at the top right corner on the steps, looking busy, carrying some water, and then Mary is sitting at the foot where Jesus is, listening intently. So let me read to you. Okay, so it reads, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening intently to his word. Meanwhile, Martha was distracted, working frantically to prepare and serve the meals for her guests. Frustrated, Martha actually scolded Jesus, asking him whether he cared that her sister had left her to fix the meal alone. She told Jesus to order Mary to help her with the preparation. But then our Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So, what's the moral of the story? So what we see here is Martha, very busy, trying to serve the Lord, and Mary sitting there, listening to the Lord. Two very diverse actions. So what does it tell us? While service is important, right, in this particular context that Martha is in, but what is more important is what Mary is doing. She knows what is important, therefore she blocks out whatever practices or even culture of that day or things that is necessary and focus on Jesus. So that is how we should be using our time. You know, so even though we have to serve the church, serve the community, but let's not forget, at the end of the day, our God is not a service-centric God. Our God is a relational God, and He wants to have a relationship with us. So we definitely got to stop glorifying busyness. Okay? So, like what some said that Psalm 46:10 said that God wants us to be still and know that He is our God. Maybe I just flash through quickly. So these are the various verses that I've picked up that is telling us how we should live. I spoke about being busy as a necessity. But at the same time, we must know that we have to focus our mind and do what is right for our lives. Okay? Therefore, we have to stop glorifying this idea of being busy. Because being busy, running around, may not be getting us anywhere that we want to go. And where we want to go is up in heaven. That is where all our treasures are being stored. So, and this verse really sums up why we really need to stop being busy. And it's written by Billy Graham. He said in this quote, "We hurt people by being too busy. Too busy to notice their needs, too busy to drop that note of comfort or encouragement or assurance of love, too busy to listen when Someone needs to talk. Too busy to care. Imagine, what if God tells us that he's too busy? You know, he has the entire universe and eternity to care for, right? So, think about it. So with that, I am going to give us a few practical suggestions how we can make more time so that we can use this time that we plow back to do what is necessary for us. Okay, and it is the A, B, C, D of creating more time for your day. So the first one is advanced planning. And advanced planning is not planning just before something happens. Advanced planning is planning the night before for the next day. All right, so maybe just quick illustration of what I think or what I do for advanced planning is I plan what I'm going to do tomorrow morning, or I would say my physical workout tomorrow. I even go as far as laying out my running attire so that I don't spend time waking up, try to grope around in the dark, you know, try to find my shorts. Right? No, I put everything sui-sui. So when I wake up, I am ready to go. So you know who famous are doing this? No? Nobody knows? Wow. Really? Okay. So it's the late Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, right? The owner of Facebook, huh? Is it? But these two rich men actually they become fashion icon, no? By chance, because they wear the same thing every day, right? Huh? They appear and wear the same thing every day. But when they were interviewed, they said that because of their responsibility, they don't want to spend time thinking about what to wear that day. So they just wear the same thing. So they reserve their energy to do the most important thing. So what is your most important thing? So we must be able to identify the time wasters in our life, the urgent things in our life and the important things in our life so that we can save time. And advanced planning allow you to do so. Next, begin with a win. So, there's this famous U.S. Navy SEAL, U.S. Special Forces guy, Admiral McCraven. Okay, I shared this with my cell group the other day. Okay, so he gave a speech at the University of Texas, you know, and he said that if you want to change the world, start by making your bed now. So what does it mean, right? Why you change the world, you start to make your bed, right? The thing is, if you start your day by doing something right, it is starting the day with a win already. Okay, as a matter of fact, Mark Twain, you know, the famous naturalist, I think, he even went as far as to say that if I need to eat a frog to begin my day, I will do it the first thing. So, disgusting, but the fact is, if you already eaten the frog, if you already made your bed, if you have worried, you have already done your quiet time, you have already do your workout before your day even start, before your kids even wake up, you can actually stop already because you've already done what you need, which is the most important. So begin with a win. And in our context, I think we need to begin spending time with God each morning. With that, your day will definitely go much smoother. Next, consistency is key. All right, consistency is key. As a matter of fact, consistency trumps intensity always. Okay, I'm turning 50 this October, but I'm still doing IPPT 2.4, 9 minutes. Not fast, but it's actually the same timing as what an 18-year-old NSF needs to do to get a gold standard. So, but I remember, you know, I was never the fastest bloke among my friends when I first entered army. Okay, they were always much faster, much stronger than me. But over the years, especially as we turned 30, they started to slow down. Okay. But I kept on doing it, keep on plowing in. Until today, I continue to do that timing, and I really want to keep doing it. So consistent is key. So we need to spend time with God, begin the day with a win, and advance to plan our day. And if we consistently do it, we will be able to save time, and with those time, you can do the most important thing. Last but not least, to develop daily. It is said that if you spend 1 hour each day, within 5 years, you will be an expert in any subject that you put your mind into. So imagine we spend 1 hour each day reading the Bible. In 5 years, you'll be an expert in the Bible. And that's probably a challenge all of us needs to try out. So A, B, C, and D. So advanced planning, begin with a win. Consistency is key, and develop daily. I'm coming to the landing. Sorry. So, before I hand the time over to my sister Niap to share how God has done for her, that she, okay, like, I don't let the cat out of the bag. I let her tell her own story. So bear with me for a couple of more minutes. I need to use the prop, okay. All right, here it goes.
Separated from home, or future with Christ, for eternity in heaven. But this is our mission, right? I said it earlier in Agora, and this mission is the mission of the church for the last 2,000 years and then some, which is to seek those who are lost. And I said it earlier that in this church, we want to make a difference to the marketplace, to impact life, for eternity. So let's think about the subject of eternity for a second. If your life is equivalent to this rope here, just this white part, and this is the time you are born here, and this is the time that you die at this end. Okay. So let's say this is 100 years. You live a long life. Okay. So in this time, you are born, you start walking, you go to school, you attend university, you meet your spouse, blah, blah, blah. You get the deal, you. My son volunteer. Thank you.
Okay, so, and then it goes on, but the thing is, you can see the rope, right? It doesn't go on for just 100 years. It goes on for 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. 500 years, you get the idea, lah. Okay, no need, steady. No, just stand here. Okay. So, but the thing is, what the Bible tells us is life don't really end, right? Our life ends here, as I said, but that's where eternity begins. And if I were to send this rope on its way from here on this stage, to go one round through the globe, I did some calculation. It will take about 39 million meters to go around the world. And if every half a meter here represents 100 years, it means it will equal to about 8 million years. But guess what? 8 million years is just scratching the surface when it comes to eternity. So I learned in my life that if something is bothering me right now, here in our life, but it's not affecting us here in our eternity, I will not bother anymore. So let's not allow our busy life here right now as we live. You know, if it doesn't affect your eternity, then you are busying for the wrong reason. Okay, you are busying for the wrong reason. Thanks. So from what I've shared, we know today's currency is not just money. It's actually time. And just like tithing that Silas shared with us last week, God just wants us to avail ourselves. And when we can do and obey, God wants us, or God wants to fulfill His promises. And His promises is He will return to you manifold. So let's not possess the spirit of poverty, especially when time is concerned. Precious time is concerned. Precious time that you need to reap your time in eternity. So if you look around you, wow, eternity is very long. Huh? It's all along the floor. So let's be more like Jesus, be generous in our time to whoever, whenever, and wherever God points us to. So with that, I leave you with the last verse from Martin Luther, who says that, if I have much to do today, I better spend a lot more time thinking. And with that, I end my sharing and I will invite my sister Niap up. Thank you.
Hello, church. My name is Niap. Thank you, Brother Royston, for the sharing. Very inspiring. I must say, I shouldn't say I'm a busy person, but I can say that I'm quite a siamming person. I try to siam all things, as in all things, right? And the truth is, I also try to siam this session, but I know I cannot say no to Daniel. Okay, when I say yes to Daniel, right, I didn't realize that, you know, this month is going to be a crazy period for me, because my assistant who worked with me for 10 years is going on maternity leave. And interestingly, she go without doing a proper handover. So now I'm struggling to actually figure out what things to be done and what things that I need to do. So, yeah. And just to basically give a bit of background, when I first started serving, I was not given a choice because I have a very fierce cell group leader who the only choice I have is probably which ministry do I want to serve, right? And the rationale is very simple. I mean, she said that, you know, if you want to feel the heartbeat of God, the only way to learn it is to serve. So that's where I am, you know. I started serving in children ministry. And I also realized that when we serve, right, it's actually very experimental and also there's a lot of experience in it. Because God actually taught me a lot of things through the children. And even till today, right, if I have some issue at work, I know I have to go and serve because through the children, He gave me answer. Yeah. And one particular incident that I always remember very clearly is probably during the great financial crisis, where I'm trying to restructure a portfolio of a client in very messy position. And I was in office day in, day out, trying to reprice and restructure it, but I don't know which way to do. Because whatever things that I do right, I figure out it will be wrong. So that day, I still remember it's a Sunday. So I went to, of course, you know, trying to find excuses not to serve because it's 9 a.m., right? And I stayed in office the previous day till like late in the night. But I somehow or another, you know, the Spirit just tell me, just go. And that day, this kid actually come to me and tell me, you know, Auntie Nyap, I was watching the documentary. The documentary was talking about Aussie dollar. Maybe you should do something about that. I was like, oh, okay, that's very interesting. So I know that's the answer that probably God is trying to tell me, and that is, and I found my answer. And another instance whereby, you know, God actually say that he need me to serve and I try to siam, right, is I don't know whether you recall, I think in 2018, 2019, we need to do this alpha thing. And all the churches is asked to do. And fortunately or unfortunately, my bosses and I were in the same church. Then of course the boss will say, why don't we try to do this? I mean, why don't we try to do this means I have to do, right? Not they do, right? I was like, okay, let's all pray about this and let's think about it. So every morning, I actually run around office. So after that conversation, the next morning when I run, I saw so many pamphlets of Alpha on the floor. I mean, cannot be one, right? Because number one, the Alpha pamphlet need to buy one. It's not free. Just in case y'all don't know, need to buy. And for it to be like laying around, you know, the CBD area is weird, is funny, especially at about 7 a.m. in the morning. So I got this very unsettled feeling that God is trying to tell me, please do it, okay? So then the next morning came, I do the same route again, and this time round, he was actually telling, I mean, I keep having this verse in my head, which is like John 21 to 15 to 18. In short, it means that if you love me, right? I mean, God was trying to tell Peter, if you love me, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, take care of them. So after that incident, you know, back into office, I was telling my bosses, okay, fine, let's do it. And it's a lot of work to be done. It's not something whereby you say you do it, you press something and you will be done. You know, we need to go for training and we need to actually prepare for things. And but one condition I have for them is that, you know, I can do all the logistic, all the backroom thing, but I don't want to invite people. Because the truth is that, right, I'm quite an introvert. I don't go around talking to people in the office. And I only like to mix around with people that I like to mix with. Lah. I mean, I don't. So in a way, we are like quite in groups that, so we don't talk to random stranger. So if I need to do that, I need to talk to random stranger. But the truth is that I know God has his plan. And through this whole Alpha thing, we also realize that there's a lot of needs in office. And that's how we actually bring people to Christ. Yeah, so just want to encourage all of you, you know, when you're very busy and you are thinking not to serve, then maybe there is a time to serve. And I could, and at that particular period, right, it's not actually not a very good time for my bank. We have scandal after scandal. I mean, every time when I call a client, before I can talk about anything, they'll ask me, your bank not going bankrupt, ah? Are you okay? Do you still need a job? No, you can come and work for me. You know, those kind. And but interestingly, when we do this Alpha thing, right, I can tell you, you know, the narration outside is very bad for us, but that particular period is the best year ever for us. We overachieve our KPI numbers. Nobody will ever believe this, but that's the best revenue year that we have for our region. And even till today, right, we can never replicate that. So I think it must be God doing all the work while we do his work. So I do believe that when we honor God, God will honor us. Okay, thank you.
Check 1, 2. Okay, man. Now you know when you go for wealth management advice, it could be the advice of a 7-year-old telling you to buy an Aussie dollar. But God works in wondrous ways, isn't it? And maybe I should tell Penny, and yep, it's time to do Alpha again. And I mean it. If that's the only way to win people, isn't she the one that you won from doing Alpha? So she didn't complete the story, and let me complete the story. Because in her business, not in her business, the question is, will you do something despite your business? That has to be it, right? So despite her business, she must bitch and moan. I'm saying YouTube, oh gosh. Yeah, she bitched and moaned, and she still did what she needed to do. And that is why, Penny, you're sitting beside her now. I think that's key. Today, the ministry is very simple. Saying, God, so what are we going to do today? Maybe I think the point that, and even as I invite Karen and Esther to come forward now, let's go to time ministry before we end. I think the call today is for us to say, God, even Pei-Wen, like, Pei-Wen, the question is this. Are we prepared to say, God, you are priority? If you put God first, everything else He will take care of. Isn't it the word of God? You put God first, and the rest of it will be put into place. I want to tell you something. When I invite people to just come distance me, I have no idea what they say. I don't check. And even when you put people like June, those things that June talked about, even the husband don't know. What kind of husband are you? But never mind. She didn't know, but she came, and wasn't it such a wonderful testimony? But God, in His infinite wisdom, allows the message, and then the testimonies come. And even today, I was thinking, what is Inyap going to talk about being busy? But by just her saying that, despite, the key word must be despite, the Christians have to learn something. We must do things despite. Please understand, the busyness will never end. Please also understand, your troubles will also not end. Please also understand that the difficulties you have will not end. It is despite the busyness, despite the problems, despite the stress, despite all these things, you still tithe. I still can't believe it. $850. Karen's asking me, where got people earn only $850? But those times when policemen wear shorts, the nurse allowance was $850, right? And you still send back $500 to Malacca. My goodness. How will God not bless you if you, despite your financial frailties, put God first? So today the word is despite. You put God first. Therefore, you put God as priority. Nigel was a bit late. That's why I couldn't have time to set him up. Then she said, it's okay lah. Maybe it's time for me to be ministered to. You must come forward. I want people to put God first, not me. God wants you to put Him first. So if your struggle is putting God first, today is an acceptable time. You tell God, God, despite my business, despite whatever, and some of you may even be ill, you put God first. And God will honor your life. Don't wait until you are less busy, because the day may never come. Don't wait until you are less busy, because by the time you think, oh, I retire, just like some people, right? They always talk about, oh, you retire at 70. Retire at 70, then you're going to start traveling. By the time you retire at 70, I tell you what, your legs can't climb anymore. You can't do a lot of things. So don't wait, but put God first. Put God first, and the rest He will take care of. 听得懂吗? 先把主放在他的岗位上, 排名第一, 当你把他放在首榜第一的时候, 你全部所需要的东西, 他会彻底的给你, 你不问他都会给你。 Tiffany, are you impressed I can speak Mandarin? But despite my Mandarin not being the best, I will put it out, because God can use anything. God can hear the heartbeat. Do you understand? Put God first. And that's the mystery today. Can we just all stand as Esther leads us? And we'll end. So ministry, don't look at anybody around. Just come. I tell people, no rank, don't pull rank. There's no rank here. Whoever comes, you can even pray for Silas. Silas may say, I want to put God as priority again. Maybe Penny will say, yes, God, give me the courage. Let me start Alpha. Let me put God first. Sabrina may say, God, allow me to bring someone. I want to put you as priority. And let God do the rest. Don't look at anyone else. Be the first to come. Lah. What are you waiting for? And just come and ask God to speak. Even as we start to worship, come anytime, and whoever feels led to just pray for somebody, will you come and pray? Come, let's worship to Him. You are the peace that guards my heart.
A peace that guards my heart.
my help in times of need.
You are the hope.
You are the home that leads me on and brings me to my knees. And there I find you waiting, and there I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I sing, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see your face, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you and we worship you this day.
I want people to come forward. You're not coming forward because I ask you to. You come forward because God will bless. So whatever prayer request you have, the church must operate in the spiritual realm. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit. When the Spirit asks, respond. So will you come? I don't know what your problem is, but I tell you what, God knows. So will you come forward? If there's somebody you, don't look at anybody else. We need to get this culture of ministry. Then I think the church will move. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Don't look at anybody else. Just come. There I find you waiting.
And there I find you waiting. And there I find relief. So with all my heart I'll worship. To you I sing, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see your face, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you and we worship you this day.
Can we lift our hands before the Lord as we bring the end to service? I want to pray for you. If your prayer is God, I will put you first. If your prayer is not God, I'll put you first. And you don't mean it, put your hands down. But if you mean it, God, I will, despite my busyness, despite my hectic schedules, I will put you first. Lift your hands before the Lord. 假如你是说神, 即使我多忙的话，我要把你先放在岗位。 You put God first. Lift your hands before the Lord. The Lord's gonna bless. Lift your hands before the Lord. Arms open, palms open, telling God, God, you are numero uno, number one. Lift your hands before the Lord. No one looking around. Eyes closed. Lord, release your anointing right now in Jesus' name. So that, Lord, they will not be so busy that they cannot attend church service. They will not be so busy that they will not be able to attend cell. They will put you first. And just like the flashing of the slide just now, when people need a hearing or listening ear, Lord, Shireen will be there to just listen to their problem. Karen will go out there to meet people for lunch. Those clients that need God, Li Ying will just go to the client and say, I will spend time with you. No matter how busy, you put God first. And may God now, in Jesus' name, receive that energization of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, energize my sister and my brother so that, Lord, not only will they work in the alcohol business, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord, they will do the work of the kingdom. So, Lord, bless them so that, Lord, when you energize them, they will walk the extra mile. They will just run the race. They will manage their time. They will put you first. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, release anointing upon them so that, Lord, they will be able to do it and do it with excellence. Father, we thank you. We pray for everyone that is here. I pray a special word for you for, when is Mother's Day? Is it coming? Those who are mothers, I want you to come forward now. I didn't even think of it, but mothers, whether you or your... Look, if your child is 35, you are still a mother, okay? If your child is 1, you are a mother. I want the mothers to come forward. I'm not forcing it. I didn't think about it. God tells me, mothers, come forward. Can all the mothers come forward right now? And those who are not mothers, your job is to pray for the mothers. Can you just come forward? Lift your hands before the Lord. Tiffany, not a mother yet, right? Come forward to pray. Yep, Penny, Ling, all come. All the mothers come forward. Mothers, listen. Especially those who come to work in Singapore when you leave your children behind. We thank you. Those helpers, the Lord bless you. I want you to find a mother and not enough ladies, Silas and the rest of people, just come forward and pray. I want the mothers to, those mothers are the ones whose hands are raised. The rest are not mothers, don't raise your hands so I can see who they are. All the mothers are here. Very good. Mothers are in two rows. Will we pray for the mothers? The rest of you, can you go to someone who's a mother? Pick someone, please. I want all the mothers to be prayed for. There's some here. Nyap, come forward. Penny, come forward. Tiffany, come forward. TG, all come forward. Nigel, you are not a mother. Come and pray. Gan, come forward. Silas, Chris, come forward. All learn how to pray. Tiffany and Brian, take one. Lay your hands upon them. I will pray. I want to pray for the mothers. Come forward. Mothers, listen. Thank God for you. Because without you, your children won't be where they are. And Shireen has a privilege. The natural daughter is praying for you. Release anointing right now for the mothers. Even those who are divorced, you have been a great mother. Holy Spirit, guard the hearts of the mothers so that, Lord, they will do the work of not only raising a family, but they will bless the kingdom. Father, thank you. Audrey, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Audrey and Silas, praise for you. Release anointing upon your family. Jolene, the Lord bless you. Your two children, they will grow in the fear of the Lord. Angela, 0 upon 10 means nothing in the eyes of God. It is 10 upon 10 if we put God first. Father, release your anointing upon all the mothers. Use them for your glory. Release a anointing right now. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Release your anointing upon them. Praise you, God. I'll bring a service to the end. If you're still being prayed for, you're okay. There's some people still being prayed for. The those who have been prayed for, the mothers, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. I pray for you, Karen. Listen, Karen, you are a Spirit-filled mother. You are a Spirit-filled mother. Do the work of the kingdom. Begin to give birth now to spiritual children. In Jesus' name. Denise, you are beginning to learn about God. Holy Spirit, do something new in your life together with Chris so that you begin to win people for God. Father, thank you for June. June, you lack nothing. Even as Nigel prays for you, you will be richly blessed in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. Until we meet again next week, Father, thank you. Release your blessing so that this church will grow in the work of the kingdom. Father, thank you. Bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. For you alone. For you alone.
For you alone deserve all glory.